Hello, Albion fans, and welcome back to the latest episode of the Baggies Broadcast, brought to you in association with the Kettle and Toast Man. My name is Johnny Drury. As ever, I am with the main man, Mr. Lewis Cox, the ENS's Albion correspondent, on what was supposed to be a pretty relaxing podcast recording. Albion were supposed to have secured a playoff spot by now. However, we're all set for a pretty nervy week after that awful disaster at Sheffield Wednesday on Saturday. Coxie, how are you, mate? Have you recovered from the weekend?
I'm all right, thanks, Johnny. How are you? All I can say is you know Albion better than that, mate. So it was never not going to go.
Well, there is that.
But yeah, one of those, isn't it? Fifth since October, obviously penultimate week of the season. Let's drop to six just to make it a bit tasty. Yeah,
just to make it a bit dramatic.
Keep everyone on their toes.
Yeah, just to keep everyone a bit dramatic. I was at the West Brom Supporters Golf Society yesterday in Wolverhampton. And the mood was pretty somber.
Right here,
it was quite quiet. The mood was pretty somber when I walked in the clubhouse before the round. Everyone was a bit despondent. And yeah, it was a pretty bad Saturday. I texted you on Saturday night, didn't I? My Saturday was even more compounded. I got back home. Yeah. I went to the shop. I ordered the Domino's. I had four cans of Madry in my passenger seat. And just as I opened the door, they all splattered straight on the driveway and pierced. And I was like, oh my God, what a day. And just as that happened, my phone went off and Hull had equalised against Ipswich. So, yeah, it wasn't great. But that Hull-Ipswich result on Saturday night has played a big part. They're 2 points behind Albion heading to the final day. So it's still all to play for in terms of the race for the playoffs. And the majority of
the picture of you heading back from Yorkshire with a pizza in one arm and a can of four tinnies in the other hand. It's just funny. So I'm sure all the listeners would agree. It's just funny.
Like, well, I didn't get to drink. I got to drink one and a half of them because I think the one half
the
I probably had gravel in it
was
as well.
The highlight of my day was the Alfreton KFC. And when you're saying that, you know, it's been rough.
Yeah, softens the blow a bit, doesn't it? Softens the blow. But yeah, we've got a lot to chat about. We'll reflect further on Saturday because there's been a lot of debate around that dire performance at Hillsborough. We've got a lot of questions from you Baggies fans, so the majority of it will be on that, but we will reflect a little bit ourselves on Saturday and look ahead to Preston and discuss whether Albion can complete the job in the 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. So Coxie, we'll just have a little bit of a chat about Saturday. We had quite an emotive chat after on Saturday at Hillsborough, and a lot of the questions I think today and that I've seen over social media in the past couple of days have been around sort of tactics and tinkering with the team and the changes that he made in terms of specifically bringing in sort of Phillips and Envia and leaving Moa out and this and that. But like, I think the place to start is, like we said on that video, I think, you know, what lost Albion the game was the fact that Sheffield Wednesday wanted it more than them. I don't think it was the atmosphere. I don't think it was the cauldron of Hillsborough. And I don't think it was the tactics. It was the fact that you could see from very early on, you know, Albion sort of wilted a little bit under the pressure and they just didn't want it as much as Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, that's a damning thing to say, to be honest. You'd almost rather lose it to tactics and other things. I mean, I think I do potentially think that team selection played a part. There was certainly one thing I'd have done different and I think most listening would have done. I think, and I feared it heading into the game, I think the occasion meant more to Wednesday. Look, when they're at home with a sellout crowd and there's that much riding on it for them. But should the question is, should the occasion have meant more to Wednesday? Because there's arguably almost as much on the line for Albion, obviously at the other end of things. So, but I suppose, you know, Wednesday's last home game, you know, final day of the season's away for them. It probably felt like a do or die for them. I think you're an Albion fan. You know, there's some joking, weren't there, ahead of the game? Oh, I just don't mind about this one just to see Blues go down, you know? Almost like, oh, we'll take a draw here. But for Wednesday, they had to win. And I think they probably knew that. And I think you seeing Albion lose two going into it maybe gave them a bit of encouragement, I would say. And Albion having only won one in the recent however many games. But it's it shouldn't have meant more, really. Back of Albion's minds, was there the quote unquote comfort blanket of the final day at home to Preston? Well, there shouldn't have been, because that's going to be just a cauldron of nerves, isn't it? An absolute shredsville. To coin a phrase, it's not going to be particularly pleasant unless Albion get a goal or two early doors. It was one of the worst I think that Albion have served up under Corbrand. I think probably shouldn't be. It's hard not to be too knee jerk, isn't it? It was poor, and Sheffield Wednesday were worthy of a 3-goal win. What I would say is I think 1-0 at half time, it's fairly in the balance. Yeah. But, you know, clearly the start of the second period is taking it away from Albion, and they haven't been able to respond, and they've only been able to respond at 3-0 because, you know, the Owls have taken their foot off the gas or committed to defending and it's game over. So, I think a mixture of everything, Johnny. I wouldn't like to say that Wednesday wanted it more. Only the Albion players will know whether Wednesday wanted it more. I think that Wednesday looked like a side with more energy, more running in their legs. That doesn't necessarily mean they wanted it more, does it? I mean, Albion could be mentally jaded. I think it could be confidence. I mean, Corbrand batted both of those things away to me after the game in his post-match interview. But I think it's probably a factor, this weird factor of having it all season, but the fear of it slipping away right at the death is a weird emotion, I imagine, for the players. You know, Corbrand, to his credit, all season has hammered home that he doesn't care that Albion are fifth. Like, he doesn't care that they've been fifth for 6 months. And he's exactly right, because he said, yeah, let's think about the position of game 46. And this is exactly how it's played out, isn't it? So he's exactly right to say, look, just because we've been here since whenever, it means nothing. And dare we say it, we're seeing that unfold. So, yeah. But a very disappointing afternoon, all told.
You talked about knee-jerk there, and that's a really good point. You know, when after we recorded that video on Saturday, I saw when I was editing it, I thought about it. I was like, you've gone a bit too sort of hard, and I don't think you did. And I think you balanced that out quite well at the end by saying sort of Albion have put themselves in this position where a 3-0 defeat at Sheffield Wednesday and the run that they're on, 1-7, still leaves them in a position where they are in pole position for the playoffs heading to Saturday. Because that's
so that shows how well they're doing, I suppose.
Yeah, of course. And I think some of the reaction over the weekend has been a little bit sort of knee-jerk from what I've seen. And we've got a question on this as well, and is a need for a bit of context. I think if you would reflect back to the opening day of the season, say if you'd have said to me after that defeat to Blackburn, Albion would be in pole position to get the sixth playoff or sixth spot, the final spot in the playoffs, with one game to go.
Need
a draw on the final day. I would have probably snapped not just your hand, I'd have snapped your arm off, or snapped your other hand off. But I think the sort of need
and have a new owner, by the way.
Yeah, well, and that as well. Yeah, I think the fact of we talk about knee jerk and a little bit of anger after Saturday probably comes from not that, because when you look at that in the context of things, it's an achievement. I think it's the fact that they're sort of limping towards the line and the performance on Saturday. And I think it's right that you probably need to take the two things and talk about them different, even though they're linked, talk about them differently, because like we said, Albion have done well enough to put themselves in this position where they are, you know, we take on Preston on Saturday with, you know, one of the best home records in the division, and you would expect Albion to win. You know, that's not a given. But, you know, we would have taken this, the point is we would have taken this position back at the start of the season.
Of course. Yeah, of course. I think the story for most, if not all, the season is what a fine job I think the head coach and the players have done realistically to get themselves where they've got themselves. I think over the weekend, as well as the manager, there's been a lot of talk, debate, sort of analysis of the squad and players. And I think it does hit home. You know, I think it's clear to everyone, isn't it? Everyone. And this, you know, nothing against the squad and the players, but where this squad is in terms of a lot of it being at the end of its cycle at the club. And you know that because of the volume of players out of contract. The financial situation of the club, meaning that many will have to go regardless. The age of the squad, you know, being the oldest in the division from the average age perspective. So I think just on, all of that shows, what the head coach is having to work with now to counter that. Still a good to excellent championship squad, in my opinion. Is it the fifth best? Oh, well, they're sixth now, aren't they? Is it the sixth best in the division? Maybe. It's certainly a top half championship squad, isn't it, that should be pushing for the playoffs. And they've been there all season. There's been a lot of talk of the mentality of the squad, isn't it? And the squad struggling with that when it's on the line, when the pressure's on, wilting mentally. Maybe. I think there's some excellent characters in there. But look, when the final month or so of the season comes in to sight, that's when it gets hard, isn't it? And that's when, if you're, look at that 10 game unbeaten run not so long ago when we were sort of singing from the treetops. Was it 5 wins, 5 draws? Some of those were unconvincing at best, weren't they? Think back to some of those Watford, Millwall, Stoke. Not great sides this season, let's be honest. And Albion have struggled to scrape a draw. So they were clinging on, finding a way of not losing. Just slipped the other way, hasn't it? So the performance levels have slipped into defeats. And we talk about the performance against Leicester, which was superb, but of late, is it a little bit of an outlier? Possibly, probably. Just need to find a way for one more this season, certainly until the playoffs, and we can hopefully discuss the mood then going into the playoffs. But just need to find a way for Saturday just to be focused on the job in hand, in that it's a game that you just have to win. Okay, yes, you can draw, but just have to win against a team that you're better than. Yes, use your home record because it's really strong. There'll be nerves from the stands, clearly. And if there's no goal in 20, 25 minutes, the murmurs will, the volume will go up, but you just got to block that out. And you've got to control your own sort of nerves and tension. And Albion should be beating Preston. And if they get through with a draw, it's going to be awful to witness, isn't it? Because Hull are going to win at Plymouth. That's a fair given, I would say, because they have to go down there and win, and they're playing well. So if Albion are limp into 90 minutes with a draw on Saturday, the final moments of that are gonna be difficult to get through. But it's all on the do or die now, isn't it? It's everything's there. And I know we're going to get into it. I know there's probably a question about it, I think I've seen. But, Albion do not want to let this slip. Having had it all season, they do not want to let it slip. So, yeah. So there you go.
Just final reflections on Saturday in terms of that, because we've had the questions about it. And, I've said for me the selection wasn't the main reason why Albion have lost. Yeah. But Carlos Corbran came out and said why he did it, to sort of counteract some of Sheffield Wednesday's strengths. But was he trying to be almost too cute and too clever, rather than, we've had this midfield pairing of Yukushlu. I thought Yukushlu was awful on Saturday, and I don't think his form of late has been very good. But Okai Yukushlu and Alex Moa have been a fantastic pairing this season, and have played against the majority of sides, the majority of tests. Was Corbran, we won't know, but so it's just a topic for debate. But was he almost trying to be, overthinking it too much, instead of going tried and tested side, tried and tested back line, which he stuck with, tried and tested midfield. Obviously, he's made that change with Phillips out wide, which don't think was the correct one for me. Maybe he could have gone with Dean Garner out wide and played Swift down the middle. Was he trying to be too clever, almost, in terms of his selection?
This is not a slight on Jan Envia, who I think has done some okay things. And we were discussing it during the game, weren't we? Passes the ball forward, at least, doesn't go side to side, looks to actually get his side into dangerous positions. I'd say that's his best attribute, actually, what he does with the ball. You can tell he's a classy player. But, it's easy for us to say now, isn't it? A captain hindsight, but there's not a chance I'd have wanted Alex Mowat not in that side the other day. There's not a chance I wouldn't have had him playing. I just, I'd have had him veering for Yukushlu. I don't think Mowat's been at his super best for the last few weeks. I don't think many have, in truth, but it's just what Mowat gives you, I think, The midfield just looked, well, what Albion were the other day without his energy, just sort of sluggish and on their heels for me. I was surprised by that. I mean, I thought it might be a little physical thing, or it might, they deemed his sort of levels weren't quite right, and he had to sort of drop to the bench. But I just got it here. Carlos told me afterwards, Moey was in perfect conditions to play. Only player that wasn't was Tom Fellows, as I told you. In defending set pieces, we understood the best players to defend them were Envia and Okoi, and the best players to manage second balls from set pieces during the game were those two as well. So, I mean, first goal comes from a second phase corner, doesn't it? I know Carlos was unhappy with a foul on Townsend, but just on their heels throughout for second phases, second balls, set pieces. So that clearly didn't work. And look, Carlos Corberan took responsibility and owned it. Not everything we do works. He says that, and he said today, hasn't he, in the Express and Star and online, that he needs to take responsibility of this. Not just him and everyone involved, all the players. So that's that on Mowat. I'd have started him every day. Fellows obviously wasn't fit enough to start. I think a few didn't quite realise that. Obviously the groin thing last week, and that's a major blow. I think he would have started otherwise. Phillips being in was a surprise for me. I mean, maybe there's a point that you never know until you start him, but I think it was quite clear his match fitness wasn't there, was it? Penny for John Swift, really. You have quite easily upgraded Ian Garner out there. Why couldn't you and Swift playing? I suppose Reach would have been another option, but not as attacking, I suppose, was Corbrand's point there. And actually, it was not a tweaking system, but the more unusual back five with Phillips as a wing back, where Reach could have quite easily played. And I think also Matt Phillips is better from the left, isn't he? I think we've seen that. More effective from the left than the right for me. So, all of that. Andy Vyman, the third, with Pippa and Eric Peters left out of the squad altogether. Now, three had to be left out. Look, I know we've got a question about Vyman, but he's clearly just where he is in the pecking order, isn't it? And that's just how it is. That's what the head coach has seen, decided. Yes, Vyman's popped up with a couple of goals, but that's how it is. I don't think the back three and the wing backs for Sheffield Wednesday the other day, and it was quite difficult to spot that, to be honest. It was easy to spot at Leicester, but slightly more difficult the other day. I don't know. Would I rather have seen the normal back four? And, to me, and maybe it's too simplistic to say, like, back five and wing backs is potentially a bit more defensive. Against Sheffield Wednesday, a good side under Danny Roll.
I think it is defensive, because if you look at how it was deployed at Leicester, it was deployed for the fact that Albie could soak up pressure in it on the break. A lot of Albie's chances came on a break at Leicester. It was never really going to be. It was never really going to be a case that Albion were going to hit Sheffield Wednesday, sort of.
Maybe it just sets a bit of a tone, when you go with
exactly.
It. I mean, I would say, that's the shape Wednesday use as well, and often you see managers matching up, don't you, to sort of counter each other. Yeah. But Wednesday looked good in their shape, didn't they? And clearly didn't come off for Albion. I mean, I think only Mikey Johnson for me. I mean, people would have seen my player ratings, hopefully, and I think I'm relatively measured with those in terms of being level-headed and not going overly low, not going too high. But they were the worst of the season by a load, and only Mikey Johnson got six. And he was trying to fight it on his own, wasn't he? Really. There's the debate about obviously Wallace led the line with Thomas Asante on the bench. That's another one, wasn't it? I was okay with that. I probably called that last week, and Wallace was good at Leicester, but. Yeah, that's another one that could have gone one way, could have gone the other way. So there's a lot of team selection debate, you're right. And maybe if Corbin had the chance again, would he start Mowat possibly? Would he opt against Phillips? I'm not sure. But such a miserable, disappointing day, wasn't it? For those 2,500 fans up in the away end, I mean, they just had to almost stand there throughout and witness the cauldron of Hillsborough swallow up Albion, I think, really. That's how it felt. I mean, you might have, I don't know, Johnny, whether you left the stammer in 5-10 minutes before the end to go and obviously interview fans after the game, but just near that final whistle, the standard room was bouncing. I have to say, it was quite the sight and feel. The noise there the other day, often a cracking atmosphere there. And well, with what was on the line and how their side performed, why wouldn't it have been like that? It was quality for them. And I hope that the Albion fans at the Hawthorns on Saturday, I mean, through the nerves and tension, can whip up something, you know, big, strong, loud, that can almost, you know, almost sort of sink Preston before they start. You know, Preston come and sort of hear and see just how up for it Albion are.
Yeah, we hope that is the case. We'll forget about that for now and leave that one where it is. Just a shout out for our sponsor. As always, all our podcasts here at the Express and Star and the Shropshire Star and the Baggies Broadcast are sponsored by the Kettle and Toaster Man, your graded product specialist over on Thorns Road in Briley Hill. And as we tell you every single week, we're drumming it into you. He's got some absolute fantastic products at even better prices, probably the best price you can get anywhere around. And some of the stuff he's got there is sensational. If you want to kit your house out, he's pretty much got everything. Kitchen sets, kettles, toasters, microwaves, cookware, large appliances, hair care, kitchen bins, air fryers, mixers and processors, floor care, catering, even heating products. Not that you'll need them now, because we're getting to the summer, you'll probably need cooling products. And he has got them as well. He's got loads of special offers on his website. So if you're interested in any of those at really, really great prices, some unbelievable brands as well, head along to thekettleandtoastermat.co.uk. Right, as we alluded to at the top of the podcast, we've got a lot of questions, people, with a lot of opinions after a pretty miserable day at Sheffield Wednesday. So we're going to try and rattle through as many as these as we can in the next sort of half an hour to 35 minutes or so. I've got a few fans who just sent in statements. One's called the Hawthorns. They said Matt Phillips, biggest surprise to me. Baggy Al, a regular contributor to the show, has said, is context needed by fans this season? If you'd have offered us needing a point at home to make the playoffs, would you have bitten your hand off? I think we can be disappointed with losing, but mad results happen. Look at Leeds on Friday. Leeds were beating 4-0 at QPR on Friday. But also, we are massively overachieving this season, especially with the players we have / injuries we've had. I feel sometimes our fans expect far too much and forget the league we're in. None of the playoffs teams are in great form at the moment. It's in our hands. And he's also said we'd have took that, in my opinion. I think that's similar to what we were sort of saying.
Yeah, you said that
to go in terms of you probably would have snapped your hands off. And it's a really interesting point there. I know I don't want to preempt and talk about being in the playoffs because it's not secured yet, but you look at the form of the four sides that are making up the playoff spots heading into the final day of the season. It's pretty grim. Like Norwich's form is not great. We obviously know that Albion's is not great. Southampton got battered last week and then lost to Stoke on Saturday. Leeds were thumped 4-0. So no one's really going into this playoff race. You know, if Hull get in there, they'll have the best form.
Johnny,
but
is
no
a question.
One's really got an awful lot of it.
For you, and listeners can have a think about this. But this is before a ball's kicked this season. Is it in your opinion, is it an overachievement for Albion to get into the playoffs? And then the here and now, after the 45 games we've seen, is it an overachievement for Albion to get in the playoffs? It's hard to say, isn't it?
It's hard to say, and it's probably hard not to give like a hypocritical answer, because I've said at the top of the conversation or earlier in the podcast that, you know, we'd have snapped your hand off for it, which is exactly what Baggy Al's just said there. Is it an overachievement? I didn't really expect Albion to be in the playoffs this season, to be honest. I think that
the only thing,
a low bar had been set in terms of Val, Bruce. And then I know Carlos sort of, we were still in it on the last day of last season. But I think everything surrounding the club, you know, how many players came in last summer? 3. I think, and then the championship being strong in terms of Leeds, Leicester, Southampton. I think I predicted Albion to finish like 6th to 9th, something like that.
But I think the reason of hope and optimism and the sort of confidence was Carlos having a full season, wasn't it, on the back of what?
Yeah, it would probably be.
That was the reason.
I think if they get in the playoffs, is it an overachievement? Maybe. I'm not sure.
Relative to squad, I'd be tempted to say yes, I think, personally. And I know there's some very good championship players in the squad. I realise that. And on very good championship money. Like I realised that as well. But I think I made a point at near the top of the show about the cycle of the squad and where they all are. Yeah, relative to their careers and Albion careers, perhaps that's a factor, I dare say. And I think from how Corbrand spoke, not just of late, but I think for most of the season, he would argue, I think, that it's... look, he would say that Albion are always expected in this division to be fighting for it. And that's maybe he would say that's where they should be. But I think if he was to give an honest, deep down opinion, he would have it as an overachievement.
I'm just going to read out a tweet from... It's not really a question, just more of a positive statement from Kieran Maguire. Start of the season goals, avoid relegation and administration, 100% achieved. I'm sure the goal for most at Albion probably been more than avoid relegation, but I get your point, Kieran. Carlos hasn't had a chance to build his own team. He spent £0 in three windows and lost Dara O'Shea. He's achieved a lot from an aging squad with many injuries. Don't worry, be happy. New era, future is bright. Love that optimism from Kieran. And I'm going to marry that up with a question from Richard Downing, who said, would the season be a failure if we now missed out on the playoffs after being in a playoff position for so long? Which kind of goes with that previous one of, is it an overachievement?
It's a million-dollar question.
I've got a pretty clear answer to this. If Albion failed to get in the playoffs, if at the start of the season they haven't had this run, they haven't been up in fifth for so long, and they didn't get in the playoffs, say, like that. Say it was a similar situation to last season. Don't think it would have been a failure. However, from being in this position, going on that run of 10 unbeaten or whatever it was, you know, I think if Albion don't get in the playoffs by, what will it be, half three on Saturday, I think it is a failure for me.
Well, and the reason they wouldn't have is because they've lost the last four games.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is, it's a blow up, isn't it?
It's a big collapse, isn't it? It's a huge collapse.
Yeah, it's a huge collapse. David Graham's also asked a question, which links to a few things that I've seen this weekend. He said 4 hours, well, he hasn't really asked a question, it's more of a statement, but we'll turn it into a question. He's put 4 hours travel and left early. What a no-show by the players yet again. Bottle job, the lot of them. CC had his team wrong and needs to stop tinkering. Now, on the back of that, I saw a few interesting tweets about the fact that Albion's form has dipped when Corbrand has had more options to choose from. So we've had the likes of Phillips and Magic coming back, a few other players coming back from sort of little niggles, Thomas Asante, I think, as well. And then as that's happened, it's kind of weirdly coincided with Albion's form drop. And even though we were so excited about getting all these players and options back, it's interesting. I don't really know what my question is, but it's just interesting that, you know, managers want options, but he was kind of performing a lot better, Corbrand and Albion.
It happens.
When they sort of had their backs to the wall, sort of one hand tied behind their back, didn't really have many options.
Siege mentality thing, maybe. A
almost,
bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think it happens. I think we see it. I think we see it happen. I can think of an example elsewhere this season where it's happened. I think when you have, and we were probably talking about it the other day, I think when you have players out and they come back and you're sort of excited because it's going to boost what you've had, you sort of just expect all these players who have had however long out, weeks or months, to sort of return and be as good as they were. It can work like that on the odd occasion, but it just doesn't work like that, does it? You know, Madja didn't get off the bench the other day, did he? No. You know, and I take it, you know, the game was gone at 3-0 and maybe there's no point risking it, but I'm sure we would have a 2-0 maybe. Phillips, look at Phillips, you know, he's excellent before that injury, wasn't he? And naturally, understandably, he's not been able to get up to full speed yet or anything near top match fitness. So maybe there's a bit of that. The players struggling to rediscover levels, fitness, performance levels when they get back, and it just maybe upsets a little bit of rhythm, perhaps. I think that's it. But I think also when you sort of down to the bare bones, you've got loads of kids on the bench, few options. Maybe there's that bit more momentum, rhythm, siege mentality that builds up with it. I think there's definitely, that is a factor that exists at Albion with other clubs. I think when you sort of end up scratching around, you can sort of garner some kind of extra will to power through it and scrape through. But it is an interesting debate that I think in this case we've seen. I think we all thought that March international break at the end of March came at a good time, didn't we? Maybe with Phillips and Madger in mind, but the form since has really struggled to get back going after it, really, haven't they? Which is interesting, really. I'd like to pick the head coach's brains about that. You know, potentially will next time we get a chance. So, yeah, it's an interesting little factor.
Alan for Newport SLP has asked, can we establish why Madge didn't get a kick? And what's happened to Vyman and Pippa? Are they persona non grata? I think you've just explained there really about Madger and not wanting to risk him.
Yeah, I guess at 1-0 down. If Alvin could have got back into it, you know, I'm sure he'd have got on sooner.
On Vyman and Pippa, I'm going to flip that and say, have we seen the last of the pair of them?
I think injuries aside, probably yes. I would say, you know, there's enough players available now for three senior players to be left out of the 20-man squad, and certainly Peters and Pippa have been the two for a little while, haven't they? Although Corbin always keeps Peters in mind, he's sort of a go-to, but on Pippa and Vyman, we just haven't seen them, have we? And I touched on Vyman earlier, I think it's just how it's gone with the pecking order. I think he's had a couple of games where he's had the chance to start and it's not happened for him at all, has it? A bit more effective off the bench, I'd say. You'd like to think. I mean, I wasn't at Plymouth, but he missed chances that day, didn't he? Missed a chance at Stoke, didn't he, I think? Obviously, which would have been important. But yeah, it scored a couple. Yeah, it threatened to ignite, didn't it, early on for Vyman, but it just petered away a bit. And Pippa's never been able to usurp Furlong, has he? And that, you know, credit Furlong, I think. So had a good season, consistent season. Pippa was useful for Albion when he had to be, when there were no players around. You know, Corbyn always uses the example of Pippa having to play left wing at Sunderland and crossing for Thomas Asante to score. Pippa having to play as a number 10 at Preston on New Year's Day. There's a couple of miserable days, by the way, Sunderland away and Preston away. And that's how rough it got. You know, Pippa a right back. Yes, at a push he can play wing back. Now, having to fill in at left wing and as a number 10. I think we almost forget a few months ago just how threadbare and stretched Albion were. I think back to a couple of Hawthorns games, October, November, going back that far. And there's a couple, one midweek, I can't quite, it might have been Cardiff, might have even been QPR. But the bench was littered with kids. Absolutely.
Yeah, remember,
Leighton Love, Josh Shaw, you know, others. Cleary was on the bench at Coventry, wasn't he, around October? It was probably threadbare. And that's why we were seeing Pippa and Peters every week, wasn't it? And I suppose it comes back to that conversation we were just having about, you know, when everyone comes back and you think it's going to be sort of all singing and dancing and it doesn't quite go that way.
Chris Baines has asked another question about Andy Vyman. He said, what's happened to Andy Vyman, lads? Has Corbyn frozen him out? We sort of answer that. He goes, I don't see why he was, as he was scoring when he first came in, I think he scored two quite early on, didn't he, in his time at Albion. He said, if you need to score, it makes sense to send all your firepower on. Wouldn't mind seeing Asante and Madger on the field together. What are your thoughts? I think that last point, we probably won't see that because Corbyn will always play one up front. But for me, Saturday, given the fact that Albion, you know, if things don't go well in the first hour, they're going to need to be chasing the game. I'd have Vyman in the squad on Saturday.
And yeah, it's an
along with Madger on the bench, for a Chalobah or someone like that.
I think the context of Saturday's game, yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, because obviously you can have Vyman there to bring on for a goal, can't you? Which you wouldn't with Chalobah. It's a good point. I think if you need a goal on Saturday and it's 55, 60 minutes, Hull are winning especially, and you look to make your first sub, I think Madger's got to be near the top of the list. And I, not necessarily for BTA, I'd start Thomas Asante Saturday, and I'd have the two of them up there together somehow.
Yeah,
Corbyn always explains how, you know, Madger is the striker that can be deeper, that can almost be a 10, you know, a false nine, that's more of that link striker than the running on the shoulder of the defender. So I think the scope, I think, you know, you even sacrifice whoever's playing the 10, whether it's Grady, I think you can put Madger there as being, you know, almost like a second striker to link with Thomas Asante. I'd quite like to see that, and maybe we'll see that more often next season when Madger's fully up to it and up to speed.
Dr. Strange has asked, what's happened to What's happened to Albion? Million-dollar question, that one. But he said, after watching the Watford game, I was shocked that it seemed that like his legs had gone. I wonder if this could be our issue and how we could get more dynamism into midfield. That's a really good point. And I think over the 45 games that have gone this season, Yakushly's probably in the top sort of three or four Albion performers. But I think in recent weeks, he's looked leggy. He's looked not at it. And I think he's just... There's been question marks around his sort of fatigue and fitness in the past. And I think with their coming to the fore again, because I thought at Sheffield Wednesday, he was particularly poor. And I think he's just sort of having a real dip in form, like summer, at the worst time of the season.
Yeah, there's the debate all pretty much all season, weren't there? I remember us having this conversation maybe the first side of Christmas, before Christmas, sorry, when we've been asked about him coming off in games, you know, 65, 70 minutes, and maybe Albion struggling and conceding more of their goals after he'd gone off for the final 20 minutes. And I don't think Carlos Cole, it was asked, and Carlos Cole always gave it doing the best for the game in terms of who's coming on. But I think Yakushly was just being managed through, wasn't he? And yeah, he's not alone. He's not alone now, and he's still been bright in spells in recent games, but yeah, I think he's struggling. And say he's not alone, and it'll be interesting to know, you know, how he can come again and go again. What's he got? One more season left on his deal, has he? Okay. Yeah. He's one of very, very many where there's an interesting conversation debate to be had over the summer, I would suggest. But you're right. He's been among the, I would say, the top five performers this season, easy.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say. Question here, just about something that fans had spotted towards the end of the game. Question, how does Bartley think rushing the players down the tunnel after a gutless show is going to help? A lot of travelling fans, me included, spent substantial amounts of money on tickets and travel. But that simple applause for our backing speaks volumes. Now, this was something I saw sort of quite quickly after the game. And then it was also, mate, we can't really comment sort of, you know, matter of fact on it. But then I also saw some other suggestions that I know there was a... not pitch invasion, but I know some Sheffield Wednesday fans ran on the pitch in the corner, sort of near the Albion end, late in the game. I think one fan nicked a corner flag. And there was a suggestion that Bartley was sort of trying to rush the Albion players away from that, in terms of any trouble spilling out. And I imagine that's probably the case. I don't really think that Albion wouldn't come and clap the away fans despite having a bad result. You know, we've had bad away days this season. You know, we've had bad away form really until the last few months. So, yeah, I don't think that's probably going to be the case. I can see how Albion fans may have perceived that to be the case, but I don't think it probably
yeah,
was.
Yeah, and the video doing the rounds online don't look the best either, does it? But I think, yeah, you bang on there. I don't think it was a Saturday where, look, we weren't next to the Leppins Lane end, were we? We weren't right next to the Albion fans. We couldn't particularly hear the mood, almost. I don't know if it was... It didn't give me the vibe that it was a toxic one. Just a resignation, I think, sort of quiet resignation. So I don't think it was, you know, they took absolute pelters all game, you know, to make some players not want to kind of face that at full time. The fact there were, you know, a good number, dozen or so, possibly more home fans rushing the pitch, albeit down the other end. Look, we know what went on in the Black Country Derby, don't we? All too well. So yeah, I again, it's hard to know for definite, but there's no way in my mind that one of the experienced players would lead teammates away from clapping the away fans. I think it'd just be like, look, be aware, fans are coming on the pitch here.
Watch out. I think that's very much the case. We got a few more questions, but they've sort of covered a lot of other bases. We're going to pick one, which one person's asked, and it kind of rolls into the same thing. The last Blairite has asked, arguably since COVID and certainly since relegation for the Premier League, our big earners have bottled it in big games when achievement has been on the line. Are they bottlers? Even we like them more now. And then that sort of covered with a question from Sunil Patel, who sort of said, you know, everyone says Carlos is his master tactician, but we've struggled against physical teams. We get in our faces. Is it down to poor preparation or players lacking a bit of bottle? And I said this the other day, didn't I? I said in our video that, you know, Albion sort of limped over the line in the COVID or the first COVID half season to get to the Premier League. then under Steve Bruce, you know, the Val slash Steve Bruce season, despite the fact that Albion had plummeted from like fourth to seventh, they probably had three or four, you know, bites at the cherry in terms of getting into the playoffs later in the season. I remember one, we'd lost like three on the bounce and went to Nottingham Forest and we could still get in it, and they got battered 4-0 at Forest. And I think that still is a bit of the case. I think they just needed to show a bit of bottle on Saturday and a bit of fight and a bit of spirit. And we have talked about this. And I think I think the last Blair Wright said there in terms of reflecting on players, I don't think probably collectively that is the case, because a lot of these players are different players. There are still players that were in as far back as the Billich season.
And you can't use last season either, can you?
Because Albion were always chasing, weren't they, last season?
Yeah.
But I think there probably is a little bit element of that. I think, like I said, they just needed a bit of steely determination, a bit of backbone in these last few weeks.
Johnny, it's all the same, isn't it? It's that the squad's very similar. A lot of players who've been through.
That is the case.
Been through bad things as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of it as well, and we didn't touch much on it on Saturday. And I know you've talked to Carlos Corberan about complacency, and he sort of batted it away like he has done. But I think when you're in a position for so long, complacency can come in almost subconsciously. You know, you're not turning up to games thinking, oh, it's already done, but because you've been in that position for so long. I think they all sort of couple together. And yeah, like we said, I think they just need to show a bit more bottle on Saturday.
Complacency is a big word, isn't it? But I think the point is, for 6 months or so, Albin have won, drawn and lost in sequences. And their position in the standings hasn't been affected.
Yeah.
And we've almost joked on this, haven't we, about a lack of drama. And fans have just been sort of indifferent about results. And all of a sudden, you know, when push comes to shove, it's not even a change of form. Okay, yes, it was the first time Albin have lost three games on a spin, but all of a sudden, it's really come to bite, hasn't it?
It has really come to bite. Albion fans, thank you very much for your questions. Just wanted to shout out a little bit of a charity thing that's going on at the moment. Our friends, your best mate, Coxie, Andy Johnson, set off this morning from Wembley along with a load of people from the Albion Foundation. They're doing a blind walk for the Albion Foundation to raise money for charity. I think they've already raised a significant amount of money. They're going from Wembley to the Hawthorns, and they'll be arriving at the Hawthorns shortly before the game against Preston on Saturday. So I know we've been having some good chats with AJ about his preparations, but
his training's gone well, hasn't it? I think
it has. Yeah, he's pretty confident. To be fair, he said he's going to be struggling by the time he gets there on Saturday. So you'll have to make him plenty of cups of tea on Saturday, Coxie, and look after him. But yeah, we'll put a little bit of a link in the description down below. I know there's a Just Giving page that AJ's got for donations. And I know there's been some very, I was just having a bit of a scan through this morning, some very, very kind donations towards the Albion Foundation. But yeah, like we said, you have to look after him, Coxie. But you did actually, Albion fans know, you know, they know that you have a little bit of a bit of needle with AJ every now and then. He likes to try and get under your skin. But you were the best of mates at Aylesbury on Saturday. I turned around at half time in the press box and you were having a little cuddle. You'd made him a cup of tea.
Well,
you looked after him.
Stretch to say best of mates, Johnny. Just trying to get in his good books, wasn't I? Got him a coffee before the game, a tea at half time, you know, while he's doing his commentary duties. But those things get forgotten when when he's looking for cheap digs, I dare say. But no, it's good fun. He's certainly a member of the press box that you know is around, don't you? I think any member of the media, you know AJ is there.
Yeah, you certainly do. You certainly do. Well, good luck to him. Hopefully,
good luck. Massive effort.
Interesting to see. I think Blind Dave's on the walk, and some of the Albion blind football team who've been quite successful in the past, they're on the walk as well. So good luck to them.
Cox's stories will keep everyone going, won't they?
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure he might have to rein a few of them in, it'll be interesting to see. I think he's going to join us towards the end of after the season's concluded. AJ, just to chat about the campaign. We've got a few guest episodes we're hoping to bring you. We've recorded one last week, and we're going to have a few more when the season does end, which is hopefully not for a little while. Right, before we wrap up, Cox, you've got about 10 or so minutes. Let's talk about the weekend. Let's preview Preston. I was hoping to do this by saying, oh, Carlos could maybe make eight changes and tinker it a bit heading into the playoffs. But in the classic Albion way, they're going with the drama. It's not over yet. What do you go team-wise on Saturday, Coxie? Do you go, you know, tried and tested 4-2-3-1, Mowat comes back in, you know, Johnson one side, Fellows the other, Diangana behind whoever? We'll talk about that in a second. Do you do that? You know, you don't try, as we said earlier in the podcast, you know, debated whether Corbram was trying to be too clever at Wednesday. Just go with what you know. Your home form's good enough. You know, you should have enough to beat a Preston side that hopefully are on the beach. Is that what you do, you know, in terms of just keeping it simple?
I'd go to the back four and the usual shape, yeah. And there's one question for me. I mean, I think I'd bring Thomas Asante in.
Yeah.
If nothing else, just to have a striker in. Who is your top scorer? Who is, you know, supposed to be a focal point there in between the post in the opposition's box? Johnson's given, obviously. Now, that I can understand most people listening to this would want to start Fellows, I think. However, would I be surprised if it was Diangana as the 10, Wallace on the right? No, that's the thing I can see most. Mowat definitely back in with Okoi, the usual pairing for me.
On that though, Coxie, is there a case of, we've seen certainly Albion have gone off to some fast starts at the Hawthorns at times this season. There's been some slow ones, granted, but when Albion get off on the front foot, it's usually being driven forward by the wide players, and usually that's Johnson, and it's, you know, Fellows plays in front of us in the press box, doesn't he, early on, and he's given some fullbacks some tired times early this season. Given the fact that on Saturday, Albion will need a fast start, they will want one or two goals early on, certainly one. Is that, you know, I know Wallace is your captain.
It's a poser. It's a, yeah, it's a real
but tough would it be,
one.
You know,
I mean, I don't see
Fellows and Johnson Wallace set the tone at home.
Yeah. I don't see Wallace being left out. I think he's done a solid job of being, you know, asked to flog this long roll up front. He just brings some qualities to that. Obviously struggled on Saturday like everybody. Look, I thought Dean Garner was anonymous on Saturday. I suppose the problem is, I mean, Carlos, you previously said Johnson can play centrally as a 10, but yeah, I just don't think Johnson, Fellows, Wallace works, does it, as a three? I mean, unless Johnson and Fellows are wide and Wallace is just off Thomas Asante.
Yeah, that's
that's a possible, isn't it?
But I can't see him not playing Diangana.
No. But perhaps not. I mean, yeah, I think until a game or two ago.
Yeah, and I think
Diangana was in good form, wasn't it?
Yeah. And with a point to back that up almost and give it a bit of more sort of credibility or whatever. Dean Garner's come off the bench in certain games at home. You know, we talk about Norwich. Was it Norwich? Not Norwich. We played a few weeks ago. We come from 2-0 down.
Huh?
No, we come from 2-0 down. Yeah. Watford. He came on, changed the game. And there has been things where he can come on and he can be more of an impact sub. So that might be the case. He might go Johnston, Fellows, Wallace, Thompson.
Starting is that he's got that, you know, he's the quickest player, isn't he? So those freshest legs from the bench on 55.
Yeah, that's another key point.
Wallace could do that.
Yeah, it could be. That is another valid point. Another point I wanted to make, and I was going to bring it up in the questions. Madge has had a few weeks now to get up to speed. You know, in terms of, I know he hasn't come off the bench, but he played for the 21s. You know, come off the bench once, then is there a case that he starts on Saturday?
Well, twice he came off against Leicester, didn't he? So he's had two senior ones now.
Yeah, but, two.
I think, do you know what? Funnily enough, I was going to say, if it was a cup final, I think he probably could, but it basically is a cup final, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but does he start in expense of Thomas Asante or Wallace? I don't know. I don't know if I can see that. Would I rather have him as a first sub with Fellows? Yeah, probably. Would I rather have him fresher for 35, 40 minutes than done after an hour? I think so. I think Thomas Asante will have the bit between his teeth. You'd like to think, wouldn't you? You know, last he saw of it at home was that red card that was costly on the day, unable to help his side turn it round at Hillsborough from the bench. I think he could have a bit, you know, to to show, to prove. And maybe that's an argument for Thomas Asante starting. I do think Corbrand will start Thomas Asante up front. I do. Like you could make an argument for Magic, but let's use him if he has to be used, when he has to be used. I don't know when, if.
Yeah. Finally, before we wrap up the podcast, just getting towards sort of 50 minutes to an hour. How do you... I've sort of been thinking, what's going to happen Saturday? What's going to happen? And I sort of got a bit of a prediction. How do you see it? How do you see it going down? Do you think Albion are going to do the job and it's going to be a comfortable afternoon? Or can you see it being a bit nervy?
Oh, Johnny. I've dared not to think about it yet.
Basically, I'm asking you for a score prediction from Albion and a score prediction from Hull at Plymouth.
Okay. I imagine Hull will win. I don't know what score. I imagine that'd be quite comfortable. Do you know what? If you're asking me to, I'm going to pick a prediction now, a score prediction. I'm going to stick to it for the week. So I'm going to say 2-0 Albion. And not a comfortable 2-0. You know, maybe a first goal, not especially early. And maybe a second late on. So, I mean, that's a dream scenario, isn't it? 2-0. But yeah, just not level at any particularly late point, because that's going to be fairly unbearable.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully it goes down like that. Do you know what? I think Hull are going to struggle at Plymouth, because Plymouth are scrapping still. Plymouth are going to need a win. I think Hull will draw against Plymouth, which means Albion's results are relevant. And I think Albion will win very narrowly 2-1. So I think Albion will win, but I think it won't be needed. I think, yeah, Plymouth are still scrapping.
Well, you know, Plymouth don't have to win, do they? They could do with one.
They could do with one, yeah. So they're still fighting for, you know, still fighting for survival. I think Albion's home result is going to be irrelevant, but I do think they'll win. I think it'll be tight, and I think it'll be nervy. Yeah. I think it'll be
that way. Blues are at home to Norwich on that final day, aren't they? And Norwich are safe, aren't they? Yeah. In the top six. What a goal difference swing. Yeah. Well, so you've gone 2-1. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's optimistic from both of us.
Yeah, I'll go for 2-1. I'll go for 2-1. Either way, we know it's going to be a pretty nervy week and a nervy Saturday. Boxy, thank you as always for your time. Baggies fans, we never do it easy, do we? Almost sort of in classic Albion fashion that we've sent it to the final day after being so dominant earlier in the season. We'll be there on Saturday, and I'm sure most of you will be as well. Let's cross our fingers and hope we're back here next week, not reviewing the season, but previewing the playoffs. Thanks, as always, for listening. And until next time, for me and Coxie, boing, boing.
Boing, boing.